Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Your home for all things instrumental, taking you up until noon. It is Issel and Louis here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Second hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental and DeltaDentalKY.com. Hey, are you an insurance salesman or saleswoman or producer? Go ahead and click that producer tab at the top of the website and get started with them and sell Delta Dental. It's available at DeltaDentalKY.com. And if you're just looking for dental insurance for yourself or your family or for your employees, be sure to check them out at DeltaDentalKY.com. They got the win yesterday, and we will have Louisville men's baseball. We'll have Louisville baseball this weekend. Friday, they are on the road in South Bend. So only place to catch them is going to be here on 93.9. On Friday, we will have it on 970. So just a heads up, our friends over at that is GTK, easy for me to say. Friday night, 7:50, 8 o'clock first pitch, 9:70. Then Saturday, 2:50 on 93.9, and then 12:50 on Sunday. And, of course, it is Wednesday. Another good day for Avery because matzo pie is being dropped off. Some pizza, some focaccia bread for lunch today. Three area locations. Butchertown at excuse me. Holy moly. The Butchertown at the 1020 Craft Brewery. Douglas Loop. The old Heine Brothers there on the corner. And then, of course, at their main store there in Anchorage. Stop in, pick up some 1020 craft brews at all the locations, and discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza from Matzo Pie. And thanks to them for hanging out. But without further ado, it is Wednesday, so it's time to do the cold cut thing. It's time for bologna or salami.
Okay. Bologna or salami.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Okay. We love you, Avery. Keep going.
Bologna or salami?
Now, did you practice reading these before, or is this the
she
first
did. No,
time
no,
through?
She was.
Yes.
When I got here, I said, hey, do you need help with 11? She said, nope, I'm good. I got everything together. So there you go.
Yes, I put it together earlier, and I read the questions in the process that I was writing them.
Go.
Process. Hey.
Bologna or salami? St. John's will win 22 games in their first year with Pitino.
They
went 18-15 this
Look
year.
Look at you! Man!
You see, sometimes
who
I
is this
research.
Person behind the glass that's like speaking English and stuff? Wow, okay, go ahead.
I did research on one other question, too.
I'm gonna go salami.
Four games is a reasonable, yeah.
And much like Coach Prime at Colorado yesterday, Rick told everybody, pack your bags. You don't have much of a future here. And so he's going to flip that team over. I think he'll have certainly have more talent. And, you know, there are some tough teams in the Big East.
Oh, sure.
They've got two in the Sweet 16. But there are a lot of rummies in that league, too. So I'm going to go salami. I say Rick wins 22 games.
I think 22 is a really good number actually as well, because then he would be something like 22-11. And if they even go 500 in the league, that would add 3 wins, Dan. And like you said, you get home and home with Georgetown, home and home with DePaul, home and home with Butler, right? And those are the games that you go ahead and win. Providence is going to have a change at coach as well, with Ed Cooley heading to DC, and so I think there's an opportunity there. There's going to be a ton of turnover at Marquette as well. So we'll see if Shaka Smart has a similarly good roster next year. I'm not sure at all. But, yeah, I agree with you, Dan. Salami here, 22 wins. I think 22 wins over-under would be a good measuring stick, actually, for St. John's.
I know they didn't release any terms of the contract, but there's been speculation. Did I read that he only got $20 million for 6 years? Did you see that?
I have not read the terms, but that wouldn't surprise me. I think if we're being very transparent about what that deal is, I think it's Pitino saying, I want to coach for 6 more years, not that he's going to be at St. John's for 6 years.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't think Rick sees the end of this contract.
I agree.
I think it's either not successful and he finally says, you know, I don't love this anymore. I don't want to do it. Or he's hugely successful and he's off to someplace bigger than St. John. So I agree with you. I don't think he sees the end of this contract at St. John's.
And with St. John's being a private school, they're not required to release those kinds of
things. Yeah, and I don't know. I was just surprised how little, if that is even in the neighborhood, how little you know that is. I mean, you know, Patina,
yeah, $3.5 million or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
That's Kenny Payne money. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right. Next question. Bologna or salami? If Kentucky basketball has a season very similar to this year, Calipari will leave after the final game of next season.
I'm going to go a bologna. I think that he is there for as long as he wants to be there, and I think he wants to be there longer than just one more year. So, I mean, why would he turn down? I think he's in, was this year 4 of his lifetime deal, Louis, I think. So that would be 5, and he's making 9. Why would he leave $45 million on the table? No, that's baloney.
We are at the point where Barnhart and Calipari are just trying to outlast each other. I'm convinced of it. And whoever dies first will be the one who leaves UK first.
And who are you betting on?
John Calipari dying first.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'll go bologna as well, just because in 2019, he signed a 10-year contract that stretches through 2029. He'll have half the contract left after this coming season. I think it's half the money and half just wanting to out-jerk the other jerk. Baloney.
Out-jerk the other jerk.
Sometimes you just gotta out-jerk people.
Hurry up and read the next one.
Out-jerking jerks with Issel and Louie. Go ahead.
Bologna or salami? Kenny Payne will get 3 successful guys from the transfer portal. Right now, out of the ones that I saw leave, there's only 2 people who haven't been replaced. So if there's any more that decide to leave after that, that's why I went with 3.
Well, the whole key to everything is L. Ellis and deciding what he wants to do. I'm going to go salami. Because what was the guy from Wyoming that just went into the?
Yeah, I threw him on the just because both programs around here are going to need to get some kind of big man in the transfer portal, and so Graham Ike is his name from Wyoming.
Yeah, and he missed all of last year because of a lower leg injury, but the year before when Wyoming went to the NCAA tournament, he averaged 19.5 and 9.5.
Yep.
Now
he scored
know,
17 against Indiana in the tournament last year.
Yeah, that's not, you know, the Wyoming basketball isn't U of L or UK, but those are still pretty impressive numbers. And a guy like that is somebody that would fit in at U of L very well. So I'm gonna go with salami. I don't think Kenny's done yet.
Three. Essentially, the question is 3 good contributors from the transfer portal. I'm going to go baloney only because 3 is a lot for anyone, a lot. I mean, even even Kentucky this year. So Oscar transfer portal, Toppin transfer portal. Do you consider any of the other transfer portal guys to have been successful this year, Dan?
Oh, Reeves.
You think he overall success? Okay, yeah. So that would be three there. Whew, that's hard to do, though. I mean, that's really hard to do.
But when I said salami, I was counting L as one of those three.
Oh, okay, okay.
And if L doesn't come back, okay, then he is going to have to get three.
Okay, I'm not counting L for my answer because he's not in the portal. I'll go Bologna, excuse me, because I think actually they're going to lean on the freshmen more than they're going to lean on transfer guys, if that's fair to say.
That's a mistake.
Okay.
That's a mistake.
Bologna or
I think he learned from John Calipari, and that's what they're going to do is lean on freshmen. I think he made promises to freshmen like John did. All right, go ahead.
Are we sure?
Okay.
Don't get smart now.
That's what I do best.
Okay.
Bologna or salami? The NCAA championship game will be between Alabama and Texas.
That's not a bad prognostication.
No. That means that Texas has to beat Houston, right? I mean, first they have to beat Xavier. And then
they've got a brutal two games coming up, yes.
Yeah. I was looking at these odds of winning the championship, and whoever put these odds out there is just like me. They thought Houston was the most impressive team over the weekend, and I still think they were. So I'm going to go Bologna on that. I don't think Texas can beat Xavier and Houston back to back. I do expect Alabama to be there.
Yeah, I'll go Bologna just because I'm with Dan. I think that that four team group is the strongest of the groups between Houston, Xavier, Texas, and Miami.
Well, it's the only bracket that
where everyone's five and lower
by the seats.
Yeah, right.
You know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also would you be stunned if any of those teams made the Final Four out of that group? I'm using the word stunned. You might be a little surprised, say, if like Miami comes out of there or whatever. But like, if Xavier makes the Final Four out of there with those guards and with Sean Miller, would you be stunned? I wouldn't be.
No,
right.
No.
So I think that's kind of where I'm at with that too. So I'll go Bologna. It's not a bad matchup predictor, but I think that it's not going to end up happening. Go ahead, Dan.
Did they pump a bunch of oxygen into the studio this morning? You two are both very perky this morning.
I just had a really good day yesterday, so I'm in a much better mood today. So there you go.
What about you, Thumbs?
I'm just in one of my moods. Like, you don't know. I don't know. I'm in one of my moods.
Okay.
Okay, final question.
Yeah.
Bologna or salami? More QBs than any other position will be drafted in the top 10.
Oh, for sure. That is, that's double salami. I mean, they're talking about possibly four of them going in the top five. So, yes, all of those, because not only are they, you know, good prospects, but there are a bunch of teams. Obviously, if you're in the top of the draft, there are a bunch of teams that don't have quarterbacks. That's why you're in the top of the draft. So that's big-time salami there, Thumbs.
The only other group that I could see happening would be defensive linemen. I'm going to go Bologna. I think more D linemen go top 10 than quarterbacks by one. I think one of the quarterbacks slides out of the top 10, and I think we get four or five D linemen in the first 10 picks. Like, I'm lumping these together. Are defensive tackles and defensive ends the same to you, Dan, as far as position group?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Then I'll go Bologna.
I mean, and you can put linebackers in there, and you're still wrong. But
okay,
you know, put whoever.
Fair enough.
Put whoever in there.
I think more D linemen go off the board in the top 10 than quarterbacks do. So, all right. Because I think like Tyree Wilson, Jalen Carter's going to go off the board there. I think that Will Anderson's going to go off the board. Who else? Miles Murphy from Clemson. You might get like a Oh gosh, who am I trying to think? Brian Breezy, whoever his name is, from Clemson as well. There's two guys from Clemson that'll probably go in the top like 15-ish. That could end up in the top 10. So yeah, I'll go D lineman. So there you go. All right.
Okay.
Just to be different. There you go. Little baloney slimy. Nice job, Avery. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery.
Right. You're welcome. All right.
Good job.
Thanks.
Text her. That was the most chipper okay I've ever heard. Text her. Little jerk during bologna or salami. Eh, gotta do what you gotta do. It happens. Oh, man. All right. Well, we've talked a little. Jacob, do you want to talk Patino a little bit?
Wherever you lead, I'll follow.
How about that? So let's get to sound here, Avery. I have not heard the Billis sound, but I have heard. Oh, okay.
I did. I heard it on ESPN.
Go ahead.
I think it says something like, college basketball is better when Rick Pitino is involved.
Then you've got to play this out.
What kind of immediate impact can Pitino make at St. John's, considering this program hasn't won a game in the tournament since 2000?
Kevin, it makes St. John's an immediate player. Rick Pitino brings a credibility that St. John's just hasn't had for a long time. He's won two national championships, seven Final Fours, in a lot of ways synonymous with basketball. It's hard to imagine college basketball without Rick Pitino in it. And he's been in it at Iona the last 3 years, but now he's on a much bigger stage in New York, the Big East, St. John's, where essentially he started his career on the highest level at Providence, going to the Final Four in 1987. And Rick Pitino can not only coach and strategize with the best that have ever done this, but he can also recruit. And he has immediate credibility with players. And with the transfer portal, I have no doubt that he'll get outstanding players from other places to commit to him. And he'll be able to build that program and build a new culture at St. John's very, very quickly. This is a home run hire for St. John's. And the college game is much more interesting and much more compelling with Rick Pitino at St. John's than not.
Dan?
I agree with everything he says.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I think that, I'm big on forgiveness. I'm big on grace. And, I mean, God, the good Lord knows I've had to ask for forgiveness a bunch of times in my life. And so I think that... that he'll go there. I think he'll be very successful, and I think he deserves this opportunity.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't disagree with, and yesterday I said this, this was one of the reports that I saw that says he has won two national championships, which he has not, but so be it.
Speaking of which, let's play that second sound, Avery, as it pertains to what Dan just alluded to.
The major scandals during your 16 years at Louisville, the last of which we all know vacated that national championship in 2013. So it's been 6 years since you left Louisville. I want to ask you how you have changed as a coach, but also as a man.
Well, Sage, that's what Lou said it best. That's what confessions are for. Certainly, but I can tell you I've never cheated the game. I've never cheated in the game. You can't vacate a national championship. Look, you can take a batter down. You can't vacate. You can't change history. We won the national championship. We didn't cheat to win the game. We didn't pay players. We didn't do any of that. Things were done wrong by certain people, and that's something that I'm not proud of that happened. But I'm always proud of Peyton Siva, Russ Smith, Corky Zhang, Montrezl Harrell, Shane Bohannon, Kevin Ware, Russ and Peyton. I'm proud of all those. They earned that national championship. You cannot vacate that. You can take a banner down, but you can't vacate that.
Not mentioning Luke Hancock is the biggest scandal of that sound.
Well, you think that was on purpose?
I have no
or
idea.
He
listed nine guys. Yeah, right. I mean, no.
Yeah.
By the way, I like Sage Steele. That's all I'll say. The vacating thing, I just don't. I know you're making a joke, but like, I just, I don't, I don't care. It's unbelievable how little I care about that. About the idea of taking a banner down or not taking a banner down or hanging a banner. I would have put one back up that said national title, and if they were like, you can't have games there, oh, okay, enforce it. I mean, I don't, with how much the game has changed and all those sorts of things about what they do and don't enforce, I mean, it's so stupid that they care about a piece of felt. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, the NCAA vacated the championship. I mean, I don't read a report about Cal when they talk about him taking UMass and Memphis and Kentucky to, you know, what, the final. Did he get to Final Four with all of them?
He did.
Elite Eight? Or I don't read a report about that without it saying, and of course, I mean, UMass and Memphis were later vacated. He might think that he didn't cheat, but the NCAA thinks he cheated. And by the way, remember that championship was not vacated by the things that the FBI came up with, and the things that committee, that joke of a committee, when they realized they had legal liabilities out there, they didn't charge anybody with anything. Forget about that. That championship, Louis, was vacated by all of the stuff that came about before that. And I don't think he's been vindicated, as I said yesterday. I don't think he's been vindicated in any of that stuff. He might think he was vindicated from the Adidas and you know, paying, but that had nothing to do with vacating the championship.
I'll say one thing to all of that. I don't think anyone should write UMass was vacated, Memphis was vacated. That's what I'll say to that.
Okay.
That's my only comment on the whole thing.
All right.
But not mentioning Lou Hancock. I mean, what are we doing? Ridiculous. He's great looking. Makes a bunch of threes. Avery nodded very fervently for the great looking comment.
he's the pretty one of the station.
He is the pretty one of the station. Whoa. I mean, Louisville Sports Live is today.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yikes. She's coming for you, Taylor Lynch.
Luke just looks better.
Ethan Moore's got, solid.
He's got nice muscles.
He's got dad look, though. Like, the good dad look. Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Sorry, Ethan, I tried.
The guy that I'm happiest for in all of this is Tobin Anderson, who got Rick... At Iona. And it's amazing. Here's a guy, Louis, that was an overnight success after 21 years of coaching Division III and Division II schools. And the one thing I read that was interesting was he was a finalist for the Iona job when they hired Patino. And, of course, you know, here's a guy that's coaching Division II. And he got no shot to beat out Rick Pitino. But I think it's cool that, you know, Pitino has moved on, and now he gets the job. And I don't know what they pay at Iona, but I'm going to guess it's a little bit north of what he was making at Hardley Dickinson. So good for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've become a fan of his.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, he was on everything for 24 hours after they beat Purdue. Yeah. He was on every TV station, and not just sports. I mean, he was on the Today Show and Good Morning America, and the way he handled all of that, I think he's terrific. I'm pulling for him to keep the ball rolling at Iona.
He won his conference tournament in the ECC six times in 7 years between 2016 and 2022. It's interesting because we've actually seen a couple of these guys succeed at their jobs in college basketball who were either at a lower level or longtime assistants between Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, Jerome Tang at Kansas State, and then now with Tobin Anderson having been at at Thomas Aquinas College in New York for all those years, and then getting the Fairleigh Dickinson job. And so, yeah, no, it's you're right. When guys are, it's like the guy who rides the bus in AAA for 8 years and then gets the cup of coffee in the majors, right? You feel good for him. So,
yeah. This is a nice story. I hope he's successful there.
And a reminder, too, that he gets this job because Merrimack can't get into the NCAA tournament.
Exactly.
That's wild.
That's a Bellarmine situation all over again. But good for him. All right. Good for him.
Do you want to do a bracket with me where we restart with the Sweet 16?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't we do that? And then instead of a wager, why don't we make a donation to something? We choose a charity, Thoroughbred Aftercare, or something like that. We do that instead. And a reminder, we want to thank all of our friends who helped us out with the Bracket Challenge and all 4,200 of you who put in a bracket into our ESPNLouisville.com Bracket Challenge. Gorilla Basketball Goal from Steepleton, a TV from our friends at RGB Home Theaters, passes to Bourbon and Beyond, Louder Than Life, Adam Sandler tickets, tailgate gear from Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, a VIP experience from the TBT, Blue City and Racing prize pack, gift cards from our advertising partners, lots of restaurants around the city, and all presented by our friends at Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, KellyKentucky.com, Seven County Services, and Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. So there you go. Appreciate all those folks. And
hey, Avery, I've got a homework assignment for you.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I want you to find out if Luke Hancock has ever been critical of Rick Pitino. See if you can find anything, and see if Pitino just forgot Luke's name or if he left it out intentionally.
Okay. I feel determined about this.
You actually make a great point here. I mean, what, he was the MOP. How would you leave him off that list unless, oh boy, interesting.
Yeah, I've had it happen to me before. And so when he's the most valuable player, Morgan and Morgan helped him get his trophy back.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You went on a little bit of a diatribe there about, you know, vacating and blah blah blah. Do you think Luke should still get his MOP?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that different for you?
Because he had nothing to do with what was going on. He had nothing to do with the things that happened, and we don't need to, you know, walk over that plowed ground again. Everybody knows what was going on, and that wasn't Luke's fault. And Pitino is trying to say it wasn't his fault. He's trying to wash his hands of the whole situation. But that, we know, is not true. And we know that Luke wasn't responsible for any of that stuff.
Got it. Tweet 2 days ago from Luke Hancock. I don't care even a little bit what anyone says, March Madness is better with Rick Pitino. So I'm guessing if there was criticism, it wasn't much. Because he's coming out a couple days ago when that hiring was announced and tweeting that. And so
You just wondered. I mean, Rick doesn't say anything without it being
directed
to somebody. And Rick is a really smart guy, and I can't imagine that he forgot to mention that he just forgot that Luke Hancock was on that team. Mm-hmm. But I might be wrong.
I noticed one thing.
What?
Okay, so. Were there two Peytons on that team, or was it just one?
Well, he mentioned Peyton and Rust twice, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But they were the starting backcourt. I mean, like, you don't win the title without those two guys, for sure.
Yeah, like, because I noticed...
I mean, Russ Smith is one of the five best basketball players in U of L history. The guy's incredible. I mean, you know, I mean, 5'10", whatever. I don't want to get into a debate about the Mount Rushmore of U of L basketball or something in March, but I mean... someone else, he said Peyton twice. Man, okay. The text line. Oh, now we're dissecting Ricky P sound. Oh, man. Did he leave Luke out on purpose? I think it's a fair question. Why would he do that? The guy was the MOP. That run of threes is as good a scoring spurt as I can remember in basketball.
Yep.
It's as good as I can remember. It was unexpected. It was at a time when they needed it more than anything else. And it was, those shots all went in the exact same way. And it's just, it was one of those. So, yeah, no, it's as good as, I think the only other one I can remember, unfortunately, was LeBron James scoring like 25, 26 straight points in the conference finals against the Pistons. The first time the Cavs beat the Pistons. So, don't laugh at me. Oh, man. That was a, I just remember thinking he's doing this to Ben Wallace, and both, and Ben Wallace is going to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah.
He's doing it to Ben Wallace, and he's like 23 years old or something. Yeah. So, all right. We are presented by Delta Dental and Delta Dental of Kentucky. DeltaDentalKY.com. Brush your teeth, people. And if you need a plan for your policy for your family, for yourself, or for your employees, check it all out at DeltaDentalKY.com. They offer a nationwide network of dentists. They also offer vision plans through VSP, through Delta Vision. Check it all out at DeltaDentalKY.com. On the other end, I do not have a culture item, so we're going to talk sports, and we'll do it next.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back. Final segment of this Wednesday morning show, and we are brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
All right. Just a reminder, tonight, Mavericks-Warriors at 7, Lakers-Suns. Following that, all of that on ESPN 680-105.7. Then
that'll be an interesting game, Louie, since the Mavericks acquired Kyrie Irving. I think they're about 5 games under 500, and the Warriors can't win a road game. So I think in the NBA, somebody has to win, so that'll be interesting.
I have been called a UK fan, a UK hater, and a U of L hater on the text line today, Dan, which means we're doing a good show.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the litmus test for me. I am interested in your comments on the put up this article from The Athletic today about Miami making the Sweet 16 and how very prominent the NIL story was with them, because they have numerous guys on their team who went into the portal to renegotiate their deals with Miami to come back this year.
This I read, and it's a very long article.
It is long.
And I read every word of it this morning.
Dana O'Neill, who does as good a job as anyone in college basketball.
Yeah, I find this fascinating. There is a guy, a lot of schools, Louis, have collectives. This guy is a one-man collective. he's an individual collective.
Michigan State has two of these guys, for sure.
Yeah. What's his name? Ruiz?
Yes.
Can't find his first name.
John Ruiz.
John Ruiz. And in the story, it says...
He owns
says,
Life, I mean, Life Wallet is his company, yeah.
This is a great, great story. Because in here, they say that he grew up close to the Miami dog track. That is a very polite way of saying he grew up in the hood. And he comes up with Life Wallet and evidently is making money just hand over fist.
Yeah.
And he is, now he did get in trouble because he had those twins, the girls on the... on the women's team, had him over for dinner, which I guess is a no-no. I didn't know there was anything that was a no-no, but evidently that was. So he got his wrist slapped for that. But they're renegotiating deals. Somebody gets more money than another, and they go to Ruiz and say, "I'm leaving." Who was it?
Wong, especially, yeah.
Wong. Wong found out, and Wong is really a good player.
He is a good player.
And he found out that another guy in the locker room was making more money than him, and he said, you know, pony up or I'm out of here. So that's what they had to do. But you know, like we've said all along, the NCAA was just like everything else the NCAA does. They were ill prepared for this to happen. They put all their eggs in the basket of it is amateur athletics,
right, student,
and the courts aren't going to let them make money, which, you know, that's what they were counting on, and they had nothing, they had no contingency plan if they lost that, and so people are just doing in the NIL, they're just doing whatever they want to do, and so if Miami has a guy with all this money and he's willing to pay the players legally for NIL deals, then, you know, good for him and good for them.
I think you and I have a very similar take on this as far as, like sports betting's up in Kentucky right now. You and I are just of the opinion, let people spend their money how they want to spend their money, right? And whether that's on, you know, the over-under in a Raiders game.
You can't legislate morality, Louie.
Probably not. But no, this story I thought was really interesting. I know it is very long, but it's worth checking out if you've got an athletic subscription. Dan O'Neill's piece. This is from yesterday. Just the idea that 5 years ago, even talking about this, right? And I think it was, right? You have to remind me, was it not Mike Pratt that kind of predicted this sort of situation?
He did.
Like almost... almost verbatim, this situation.
He absolutely.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah. So, do you think that happened at Kentucky this year?
What happened?
Where, like, Oscar gets the big deal and he gets the attention, and there's a bit of a schism, or do you?
Yeah, I don't think so, because okay. I've been in a lot of locker rooms, and every locker room I was in, I knew who was better than me, and who I was better than, and I think that's pretty much the case. I mean, unless you're just off the board someplace, that's pretty much the case in every locker room. And so I don't think that the players would have a problem that Oscar, knowing he was the reigning National Player of the Year, I don't think they had a problem with him making $3 million a year if they were only making $500,000. But in this case, what's interesting in this case is that Wong was the star of the team.
Yes.
And I can see that happening in a lot of locker rooms.
Yeah, right. What percentage of guys that you played with do you think were more, and I'm going to use him as an example, and it's not a good way to start off the conversation, but I'm sure Kyrie Irving walks into a locker room and just thinks he's way better than everyone else.
No question.
How many guys?
And he might be.
In certain locker rooms, yes. Correct.
But he's an idiot, so that kind of takes... Kind of the shine off the diamond.
But how many guys do you think are like that in pro sports in general? They walk around with the mentality, no one's as good as I am.
Ooh.
Because that can be good for some people, right?
Yeah. Here's the question. How many people feel like that, and how many people act like that?
Okay.
And I don't think there's nearly as many people that act like that as feel that way, okay. Which is, in my mind, a good thing. That helps you with your teammates. It helps you with your coaching staff. But, no, listen, to get to this level, if we're talking about professional sports, you have to have a little bit of an ego, if for no other reason than you've put in an awful lot of work.
Absolutely.
And you think you've earned it. Somebody, if you're playing a professional sport, nobody gave that to you. Now, you know, if you're the coach's son in high school, you might get it there.
Sure.
But once you get to the professional level, nobody gave you anything. You earned it.
Plus, I mean, if you lack confidence in a game, someone's going to someone's going to sniff that out and take advantage of it too, right?
I mean,
that's the other part of it. So,
blood in the water, baby.
You know, the other part of this that's interesting to me in this Miami story, and we're talking about Miami's NIL deals with John Ruiz, who's a booster down there, multi-billionaire essentially. He's a kid of Cuban immigrants, and that culture is really an interesting one. I don't know how much time you've spent in South Florida, but I went to school there for a summer and I've spent a fair amount of time down there. And, you know, within Louisville, so Louisville per capita, so by pure percentage, has the second largest Cuban population in the United States.
Really?
Just by percentage of people.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And so I've had, you know, a lot of interactions, and frankly, I consider them to be great interactions with lots of people of cut this way, where they are either Cuban immigrants or children of Cuban immigrants. My barber for many years here was a young kid, like 21, 22, who left Cuba as like a 10-year-old and was my barber and told me about his family and all the things they do. And a lot of it, what ends up happening too, is you have a job in Cuba for which you were trained. So accountant or, you know, you're in medicine of some kind. And then you get here, and because you don't speak English, you can't translate that very easily. Not to use a terrible pun there, I apologize. But it doesn't, you know, you can't just, you know, you're 50 years old, you're not going to learn English just off the bat. You know, if you're 10 and you move here, you can learn English and
right.
be very fluent, be fine, and graduate high school, do all those things. But essentially, because of that cultural shift that has to happen when you go from one place to another. Now, I want to be really clear, especially where I lived at Florida International, that part of Miami had the only, what was it? It was the only Kmart with no English in it at all. So everything was in Spanish. And it made sense because the entire neighborhood was Colombians and Cubans. Like, it just made sense. You didn't need English in that neighborhood because the only other people that were going there were students like me, and I already knew what I wanted, and it wasn't a big deal. But it's just a different – it's a different mindset. And I remember for example, so last night my son got to choose where he wanted to eat dinner. So we went to the Cuban restaurant in our neighborhood, Havana Rumba, right? And their owner is a Cuban expat, or his parents are, and I cannot – I think it's him actually. And he was very vocal. He's been very vocal politically around some of the COVID-19 stuff and around different things as well. And there's just a different mindset about commerce and community and how you build those things and what it looks like, because the culture under communism is just so different when you get to the United States. And so reading this story, it had some hints of those things that I really appreciate about Cuban culture. And so I just thought it was interesting that way too. So if you can check that out. I mean, you talk about the neighborhood he grew up in. I think it also leans toward there may have been some organized crime. There may have been some unsavory activity going on around those kinds of places.
That's what I said. Right, if you grew up next to a dog track, you were in the hood, baby.
So there you go. And Jim Larnaga, of course, is cut from that ilk as well, right? He's Cuban himself, and so I think for a long time people assumed he was Italian, which is interesting. I always remember thinking
just because his name ends in a vowel
or something, yeah, right. But I'm like, no, it's Niaga with a tilde, people. It's definitely a Cuban last name. And so, but no, I thought that was an interesting story, and I think it also. Once in a while, you get a glimpse into the future of how things are going to work, and Miami is a glimpse into the future of how things are going to work in basketball. No questions asked. Eventually, at these schools, it's going to be, I'm Isaiah Wong, I'm going to opt out, and I'm going to get more money. And that's going to happen a lot more often.
Well, sure it is.
So, yeah.
Sure it is. You know, we've said it for a long, long time, Louie. How quick can you get me to the NBA, and how much NIL money am I going to make? Those are the two questions. Not did you win a championship in 1984? They care less about that stuff.
No, I agree with you. All right. Isla and Louie here. We got you about another 5 minutes here. V-Show after us. First replay at 3 o'clock. Local programming until 6 o'clock. Of course, reminder to tonight, Mavericks Warriors and Lakers Suns on this air. And then LSL at 7 o'clock over on 93.9 Ethan Moore. Taylor Lynch taking you until 9 o'clock. Tons of local programming around here. One of my favorite things about this place is that we do so much local stuff and with people on the ground here. We've talked to Rick Pitino. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Avery asked a good question in Bologna Salami. Could he you know, can he add four wins to their win total? And that's a really interesting juxtaposition against what I think people are expecting to happen across the street next year, Dan. Because I think with you know, with
add
Trenton
four
Flowers,
to the win total.
Well, no. But I mean, I think people expect them to be around the same number.
22?
Absolutely. I think people are looking at, well, Dan, listen, they're looking at the stars next to these kids, and they're assuming that it's going to translate. And you just made the noise that my brain has been making, which is, really, people?
Yeah.
I go ahead.
You know, if they were five-star kids, and they were in the top 10 as of the recruiting class, that might happen. But these kids are down the line. You can't count on them turning it around. That's why I say you've got to get in that portal. And you can't get a guy from Tennessee that averaged 3.5 points a game last year. That's not going to work. And if that's who you get out of the transfer portal, you're looking at another long, long season. You better come with somebody out of the transfer portal that you think can give you 15, 16 points a game and get you some rebounds and defend somebody.
Right.
That's the only way you're going to get to what you're talking about, Louis.
My concern is on the defensive end. That's all I worry about with college basketball, because I think if you can figure out the defensive end, eventually the offense will work. And I didn't see anything encouraging on the defensive end this season for U of L. Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean,
no.
and in the form, in the scheme, in effort, anything. And that is the troubling part of it, is that you didn't see anything positive on that end of the floor that would make you think, okay, if they just get better players in here, they'll figure out the scheme. No. That's not what I saw. Now, you probably disagree with that last part where
yes. Yes, I do.
Right.
No. I don't disagree with it. My stance is you can't make that decision right now.
Yeah, right, sure, right, yeah. And so
you see what I mean?
Absolutely, yes. And we've been back and forth on that one for sure.
Right.
But I just, what my hope is, you know, or at least your hope would have to be, you know, as a U of L fan, that that you're right, actually, right? the hope for U of L is that Dan Issel is right. How about that? It is so interesting listening to people go from a couple of weeks ago, we've talked about this, just get to 500, get to the NIT, you know, show that improvement that shows that we're headed the right way, to, oh, you're getting the very best transfers and portal guys, and okay, cool, good, get to the tournament. And that is what's great and terrible about the programs around here, is that the expectations are what they are, right? I talked about it with Kentucky basketball yesterday, and last year at this time, I was sitting in for Bob, or maybe in about a month, and Joe Lunardi's initial bracketology comes out after the national championship, and Louisville's not in it. And we did 3 hours of calls of people telling me they needed to be in the tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4-28. I mean, I'm glad that for many people, that expectation hasn't slipped, but I think it's going to be interesting when they are, I don't know, they start conference play 3-6. How people will feel, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
because I think it's really
possible. Well, I don't know what the preseason schedule is. You said you made a good point when you said they don't have to go to Maui and lose three games.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's a huge difference.
Season, yeah. So, but you know, they still play in the ACC, and even though the ACC in the last year or two hasn't been up to ACC standards, it's still the ACC.
You still play Tony Bennett, and you still play, you know, Leonard Hamilton, and you still play those guys. I mean, it's still going to be, you know.
Larinaga,
that's another really good example. And Shire's going to figure it out at Duke, I think. And I don't think Hubert Davis is an idiot. Who did Notre Dame just hire? They hired the, I thought it was a really good hire, actually. Notre Dame.
I don't know that I know that.
Basketball coach is, why is this not up here? Mike Bray's taking the South Florida job, and then, oh man, never mind. Maybe I don't know.
Did you dream it?
I might have. No, I feel like someone from the tournament or something. Anyway.
Well, Louie, the good news is you have 22 hours to come up with the name.
What a crash to the end of the show. Oh man.
Because I hear the music playing. This has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680 105.7.
Shrewsbury from Penn State. Shrewsbury.
We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We hope you are too. Have a great day, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.